Welcome to Hope Chapel. You're about to listen to Andrew Cole.
Cool. So we'll start off with Hebrews 11. Now faith, everyone say faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Prayer without faith is just words, perhaps just floating in the air or floating up into the ceiling. But prayer with faith is a force that shakes heaven and changes earth. Before we even open our mouths to pray, I believe faith must already be alive in your hearts. In Mark 11, it says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." I think out of all of that, that one verse, it's just a one word, believe, is that really captures me about believing. Jesus said, believe that you've already received it. That is the posture of faith, past tense confidence about a future promise. I just want to give us three quick points this morning about this. So my first is, faith-filled prayer requires a right relationship, not a ritual. It's a bit hard when you write a heading and you keep writing words and you think it's supposed to be just a small title, but it just keeps going. So sorry about that. In Matthew 6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Many treat prayer, I couldn't really find a suitable thing, but this is an example. Many of us treat prayer like a vending machine. You insert some money and a request and you receive a blessing. But God is not a vending machine, if you didn't know. He is a Father, and faith cannot flourish, I believe, in a transactional relationship. Faith cannot flourish in a transactional relationship. If you think of who's here, are parents here, who's got children, you will know who is a child here, as in you've got parents. So I think I've covered everybody, unless, yeah. But if you think of a child who runs to their parents in the middle of the night, who's done that here? Who's had that done where your children have come running to you in the middle of the night? They don't rehearse a speech. On their manic run down the hallway and through rooms, they're not rehearsing a speech. They want to get to a place. They don't have the questions whether their parents will answer. They're not thinking, I wonder if they're going to even answer me. They run because they know who their parent is. That is faith-filled prayer. I'm not sure whether any of my kids ran into our room. I wouldn't have heard them. But I'm sure they did. And I'm sure if I did hear them, I would have answered them, potentially. But faith-filled prayer flows from intimacy, not performance. In Daniel 6, in Daniel 6:10, it says, when the law was made that prayer was illegal, the decree came out, Daniel didn't panic or he didn't stop. He went into his room, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and prayed three times a day, as he always had. Prayer wasn't a crisis habit. It was a daily relationship. And because of that, when the lions then came, his faith didn't waver. See, we, in the discipleship course, we have a short video and then we have questions and we sit around tables in small groups and we discuss those questions and then we get people to speak about them. Some of the questions, I didn't write the questions, some of the questions, especially last week's, were just fairly ordinary questions, if I can say that. But it wasn't about the questions and it's not about the video. It's actually what's happening when we discuss these things. So one of the questions, I think, from memory was, what was the first one? How do you rate your prayer? Now, that can cause some controversy because depending on how we view it. The question wasn't to rate your quality of how you think you are as a prayer. It was, how is your prayer life? And if I asked everybody here without that introduction to that, how's your prayer life? Most of you would say it could be. So you already rate it yourself. So I guess we were talking about that. And in this here, I'd heard somebody say in the group, when they were going through a crisis, their prayer would go, say, from a 3 to an 8 because they had crisis prayer. Who's ever had crisis prayer? Who's ever just been going along when everything's great? You hit a crisis, whack, your prayer life goes up. Well, Daniel wasn't doing that. He was doing what he'd already done every single day of his life. Because there's one big factor in this. It's about relationship. It's about your relationship with God. Whether you have something big and massive to tell him and ask for his help, or whether you're just in relationship with him. It really shouldn't make any difference because it's about your relationship with your God, with your Father in heaven, not about your crisis. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because I didn't want to be that blunt, but I know that possibly has come across blunt, but we'll talk about that a bit further. So before you, so the application for you to take away is this. Before you bring your big request to God this week, do yourself a favour, because you're not doing me a favour, do yourself a favour. Spend 5 minutes simply being with him. Just spend some minutes. Don't put your stopwatch on. Let's get rid of lists. Let's get rid of stopwatches. Let's get rid of, I've got to do this, 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 and this. Let's get rid of formulas. Let's get it back to relationship. Yeah? No agenda, no list. Tell him what you're grateful for. Tell him how you feel. Maybe read a psalm out loud. Build the relationship first and watch your faith level rise naturally. I long for the days of when I first became a Christian. I long for those days because I had nothing to pray for, because I didn't know what I was doing. So my prayer time consisted of me trying to build a relationship with my God, try to understand who he was and who I was. Because in that relationship, so much stuff happened. That's where we get our lists from. First we must worship, then we must repent, then we must do this, then we must do that. All of those lists, all of these transactional occurrences that we have in prayer, actually, I believe, originally comes out of the relationship that you have with him. So when I'm in relationship with my God, God starts to speak. God starts to hone in on things in my life. So then repentance comes. And then you start building this relationship. Faith starts to rise. Then you start to want to explore. Then you start to hunger and thirst more after him and his word. See, it's all birthed out of relationship. But if we come in transactional, if we come in, okay, this is what we've got to do, we miss the very essence of what prayer is all about and where our faith is built. So we actually, I believe we bypass and we the power of it, and we actually find ourselves being disappointed. Might just be me. The second point is faith-filled prayer is bold, it's persistent, and it's specific. Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. See, in the original Greek, ask, seek and knock are something what they call present continuous. It means keep asking, keep seeking and keep knocking. God is not annoyed at your persistence. He's actually moved by it. He doesn't get annoyed thinking, oh, no, here you go again. He gets moved by it. Jesus told the parable of the persistent widow in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, to show them that they should always pray and not give up. She had no power or status, but she had persistence grounded in the belief that justice was coming. This is faith in action. Another example is blind Bartimaeus in Matthew 10. When the crowd told Bartimaeus to be quiet, he cried out louder. He was specific. In actual fact, he didn't just cry out the word Jesus, he cried out the Son of David, which shows an inner faith because of the words that he chose at that very time. It showed him who Jesus was. It showed everyone around who Jesus was to him, if they had ears to hear. His cry out was, I want to see. Jesus stopped and said, your faith has healed you. He credited the faith for the miracle. Bold, specific, persistent prayer says, I believe God is good. I believe he hears me, and I'm not moving until something changes. The application for us is you can write down one specific prayer request this week. Not vague. Be specific. Don't just pray for world peace, even though that's important. Don't just pray for your family, even though that's important. But be specific. Lord, help me in this area. Lord, restore this. Lord, give me an answer to this. Help me understand this. Pray it every single day this week. Persistence is not a lack of trust. It's an expression of it. Persistence isn't a lack of trust. It's an expression of it. And the third is, faith-filled prayer aligns our will with God's. In 1 John 5, it says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We know that we have what we asked of him. The most faith-filled prayer ever prayed included these words, not my will, but yours be done. Spoken by Jesus in the garden. True faith doesn't demand that God perform on your schedule, on my schedule. It trusts that God's answer, yes, no, or not yet, is founded and rooted in love and wisdom that surpass our understanding. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, Paul begged in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul begged God three times to remove his thorn in the flesh. God's answer wasn't the miracle that Paul expected. Instead, he got this, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul boasted in his weakness because his faith was not in the removal of the problem. Listen, his faith was not in the removal of the problem, but in the God who was with him in the problem. That is mature, mountain-moving faith. One of the discussions point, and I won't bring their name up for their one of the things was about praying that someone said is, thank God He didn't answer all my prayers. Because my life would be in a mess if he answered every prayer that I prayed. Because we pray sometimes according to our desires, our lack of understanding, our immaturity, our not having the full picture. And because we have, unfortunately, we have selfish agendas sometimes. And sometimes from a bad place, sometimes it can be downright witchcraft. We pray these holy prayers sometimes, but actually all we're doing is praying harm on other people. That's not faith-filled prayer. That's not a faith-filled, God-fearing disciples' prayer. That is just filled with self-indulgence, own agenda, and evilness. You say, do you have any proof? Yeah, I do, actually. I can't say it, but I do. We were very close with some people that confessed what they were praying from a godly perspective. All it did was incurring pain on someone else. I was shocked by that. It rocked my faith. Because I started to think, how many of our prayers go up like this? How do we really? Watch what we pray. Don't be fearful of it, but think about some of these things. Praying this against someone or over someone? Yes, see, that's God answering that. That was God's amen. I don't want that to get weird or heavy right now. Probably just did. Think of a prayer that you've been carrying that hasn't been answered the way you had hoped. Without a show of hands, I'm sure there are many of us here. Ask honestly, have I given God permission to answer this prayer his way? Have you given him permission to answer it his way? The way, if it's God, it's good. Surrender is not weakness. It's the highest act of faith. Maybe pray, Lord, I trust your answer more than I trust my request. See, that's what I heard on Tuesday night by someone. Lord, I trust your answer more than my request, what my requests have been. Lord, I trust in your answer. My faith is in that, not in myself. So all things are possible. We hear it often. Jesus replied in Luke 18, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Whether you stand at the edge of a health diagnosis which is not so grim, which is very grim, whether you're in relationships that are broken, whether you have a child away from God, or maybe you're standing at the edge of a financial cliff. Hear the word of the Lord. Have faith in God. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. The mountain is not the problem. I've had my own personal understanding and revelation that mountains in my life are not the problem. They're not the problem. Doubt is. So today, I encourage you to choose faith. Pray with it. Persist with it. Surrender with it and watch what God does. Because whatever God does is good. Whatever God does is good. You can put whatever phrase or whatever term you want to put in there. But I just think good is the most perfect word for that. Whatever God does is good. Three take homes. Pray from relationship. Know your Father before you bring your requests. Know your Father. Pray from your relationship. I find that, as I said before, that everything comes from relationship. Repentance, acceptance, transformation, compassion, understanding, wisdom. It comes from my relationship with God. Knowledge, all this other stuff can come from other sources. But what God gives you when you are in relationship with Him will set you free. Seriously, will set you free. Out of relationship. And I'm talking true relationship. I'm not talking scheduled, put your stopwatch on, go through your shopping list. I'm talking about, have you ever just sat and put your list aside? Because He knows your list and it's important to pray for Him. But out of the relationship with your God. Because if those things on your list are burning on your heart, in your conversation with your God, in your relationship building, those things will come out. Tears will flow. Knees will be worn out because you'll be on them. Hands will be outstretched. Words will be silenced from gibberish and just praising and thanking God for what He drops in your heart. Your life is transformed. There is no formula. It's out of relationship. Now, I'm sure others will differ. That's okay. This is my perspective on it. It's what I've traveled in my life. I realize the wells that I dug in 1987 are still flowing today. I realize the wells that I dug that were rich and freely flowing, I still draw from today. Because out of all of those wells, every single one was, none of them were dug out of need. None of them were dug out of a crisis. None of them were dug from any other reason other than relationship. Other than relationship. I had worries, of course I did. But none of those wells, I've sat and I've pondered on them. None of them were dug out of a crisis. They were all dug out of relationship. The second is pray with boldness. Be persistent and specific. Heaven responds to faith-filled tenacity. But I also want to say boldness comes out of relationship. And the last point is pray in surrender. Align with God's will and trust His perfect love and timing. I also want to add that surrender comes out of relationship. So it doesn't matter what I look to, where I come from on this, I keep coming back to the same place, relationship. So if you want faith that moves, who wants faith that moves? Who wants faith to move things in their life? Who genuinely wants to know that your prayers are effective? That you know that you're praying according to God's will and purpose. Know that God hears all of your prayers. God, that your time with Him is so effective. Get in relationship with Him. Get in relationship with Him. Stay in relationship with Him. Abide in Him and He will abide in you. Abide in Him and He will in you. Be in relationship. Everything comes out of the relationship. So my prayer is this, that we have a church which has a faith that can move. Whatever you put after the word move, put whatever you like. Some will put a mountain. Some will put something else. But I want us to be a church that faith moves. And it's all built on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It all comes from understanding of how powerful and how amazing and how essential and how crucial and how pivotal and how transformational that your relationship is with Jesus Christ and being a disciple of His. God bless you. Thank you for coming out this morning. Thanks for being with us. Go and be faith-filled and powerful in the things of God. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message this week.